The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Today, we celebrate All Saints' Day. Now, the saints who we remember today, who've passed away from our congregation, have reached the fulfillment of their journey of faith. They've remained faithful to their confirmation vows. They've remained faithful to God, all because God has remained faithful to them. He's still faithful to them, even now, as they enjoy the heavenly splendors in his kingdom. Their souls are at rest in their crucified king until the resurrection of their flesh, and they're brought to God's new creation. In this way, it's fitting that we celebrate the rite of confirmation today. As the saints before us have passed in Christ's faithfulness, this is the same prayer for our confirmands today. And in like manner, all of us, because our Lord is never done teaching us about himself. He's never done catechizing us. There's always more to learn. There's always more to experience in this life of faith. The unholy Trinity, which is the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, will do anything to rip away the baptismal faith our Lord has given to us. These unholy three work our entire life to remove faith from our hearts, minds, and everyday lives. But follow the footsteps of the saints of this congregation who've passed on before you. That is, continually humble yourself before God. Receive his word. Receive his body and blood. And in so doing, our Lord continually works and strengthens faith in you. Keep your eyes set on the prize of your faith, the very same prize the saints of this congregation who rest in the labors of Christ enjoy in eternity. That is, your eternal inheritance. But you don't need to wait to experience your inheritance's joys. Enjoy your inheritance now. Our Lord surely gives it. But be strengthened by it now, through your hardships, so that Satan can't deter you from your eternal inheritance forever. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, Sermon on the Mount starts at our Gospel lesson for today. So, what we heard read earlier is the gate through which Jesus' catechumens enter into this newly defined life as a disciple of Jesus. And so Emery, Izzy, Josie, Jesus sets forth these promises for you, his disciples. And what Jesus sets forth in these promises is for all of us, his disciples. Not only as it is the beginning of the promised life we have in Jesus' name, but it's also our reward. Not only is Jesus teaching us the way of discipleship, but he's walked this road of discipleship for us and with us. In this text, not only is Jesus highlighting the difficulty of being a disciple of Jesus, needing mercy, being persecuted, mourning, being poor in spirit, but Jesus becomes needy, persecuted, poor in spirit, and full of mourning on the cross for you. Jesus warns us. In this life of flesh, there's tension between the present blessings of God and joy on the one hand, and present mourning, suffering, and persecution on the other hand. The Christian life is hard. It's becoming more and more unpopular with each passing moment. To hold a Christian worldview is falling out of popularity. And it's becoming burdensome to maintain that worldview. Faith may cost us friends, family members, our reputation in the community. Never because we lack love, but because we see true love as never being satisfied with sin. Always seeking to help my neighbor see his own sin and repent of it. But faithfulness to God and scriptures comes with a price. The question is that price too much to bear? At times, yes. We won't always choose the path of the discipleship Jesus has set before us. There may be times we hate bearing the cross of Christ, which was bestowed upon us in our baptism. There may be times we choose friendship and keeping the peace over being a light in the midst of darkness. There may be times when we feel rich in spiritual self-righteousness, exalted in our depraved minds and souls, merciless to those who hold different views than us, cold-hearted to repentance of our sin, instigators of violence and hatred, and maybe even joining the crowds who blaspheme our Lord's name. It may be fun at first, until you realize your unfulfillment with anything eternal and empty of anything lasting. Until you realize that you actually are poor in spirit, that you're lowly and in need of deliverance. If this ever becomes you, there's hope. Repent of your sin. Return to the path of discipleship our Lord has baptized you into. St. Paul persecuted and killed Christians for years when the early church was starting. But our Lord was able to shine a bright, warm light in the midst of the cold darkness of his heart. He converted Paul and made him into one of the greatest saints in the early church. So even when you choose a path of discipleship which veers away from where our Lord guides you, he always welcomes you back with open arms. Having heard your repentance and confession of sin, he'll guide and direct you back to the promises of Jesus, to the great joy and blessing you have now. Because Jesus gives his life for yours. Jesus fulfills the Beatitudes of our gospel text perfectly in your stead. And he gives his perfect life of faithfulness and discipleship to you. He started his life of perfect discipleship under Pontius Pilate, by suffering under Pontius Pilate, dying and being buried. He was betrayed by his own friends, beaten down by those who threatened by him, and crucified on a cross. The King of the heavenly kingdom was made poor in spirit as he cried for his Father from the cross. He mourned from the cross, not merely because of the physical pain, but because of the hurt of betrayal and rejection. He was made meek or lowly, an innocent man, being treated as a criminal against the empire, being stripped, beaten, and mocked. Yet by his spiritual poverty, by his mourning, by his lowliness, he inherits the kingdom. He inherits the earth. He inherits true heavenly righteousness. He makes peace between God and man. But Jesus doesn't keep all these wonderful gifts of inheritance to himself, but he gives it to you. He gives these gifts to you now in word and sacrament. He gives you these benefits now to strengthen, heal, and sustain you through your dark, troublesome days. He uses his word to show you how empty you really are. And then he uses his word to fill you up with himself, with his very own body and blood. With Jesus now living in and through you, he places you back on the path of discipleship to live a life pleasing to God. Because even though our crosses are impossible to carry on our own, Jesus is there to carry it for us and with us. Receiving your heavenly inheritance now points you towards and strengthens you to receive your full inheritance in your own death and resurrection. The inheritance you receive now grants you entry into the heavenly places with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, as we say in our liturgy. Departing this life on earth in faith given by the Holy Spirit brings us before the Holy Trinity in heaven forever, where we abide in peace, love, and joy forever. Well, there's still more inheritance to come. In common Christian talk, we often hear of our life being eternal in heaven, as if we live forever in some kind of spiritual state without a physical body, a Casper-like experience. But there's more. We aren't to remain in this spiritual disembodied state forever. Remember the inheritance our Lord promises for the meek and the lowly. In verse 5, we learn that the lowly inherit the earth. And this points us towards the last day, when our Lord judges the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And on that day, our Lord will give his faithful people the new heavens and the new earth, promised in Revelation 21. And our Lord will complete his promise of a resurrected body given to Regina, Gary, Lawrence, Charlotte, and all who die in Christ's faithfulness. God will raise them from their graves with a perfected body where our hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. The mercy we've received on earth reaches its fulfillment in eternity. And we enjoy the splendors of heaven for eternity, without interruption from sin, death, or the devil, all because the divine fatherly goodness of our Heavenly Father, the self-sacrificial death of His only begotten Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who's called us out of darkness and into His most marvelous light. confirmants, congregation. That's the importance of living with your inheritance now. Continually, habitually. His word, forgiveness, body, blood, faith, and love will sustain you through darkness. God gives you Christ, who is the light of the world, to lighten the path of faith in the midst of darkness. And surely, all who grasp Christ will live as his saints in heaven, awaiting the resurrected kingdom, which has no end. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.